Billy is found in the attic scrying at 7 a.m. in the morning by Paige. Turns out Billy has been scrying all night looking for her sister, Christy. Paige declares that if she is still alive, they will find her, and that's a promise. Inside a photo studio, a demon,
Vaclav. Just, you could say Vaclav or Vaclav.
Vaclav pulls a wow, that just took me out. Pulls a collage out of a drawer. Wow, this is some intro, Rob. Wow, they're in for a treat.
Why? That's your normal voice. Why are you calling it out?
It was really strong there. It took me out of the whole scene.
His hands were at his face, just like, what? What do you want?
He pulls it out of a drawer. He passes a hand over one of the pictures, and it comes to life as a young man. Valklava throws a fireball, but the young man, J.D. Williams, dodges and flees. He runs into the street and is hit by a car.
I hope you guys survived that. My goodness. Well, this is Brunch with the Hollowells. You can tell this is our last season because we're spent. Ryan cannot read anymore.
Well, I could never read, and this just, you know, these demon names have sent me over the edge since the beginning. Like, I can't read, and I can't read demon names.
That was the opening for episode 7 of season 8. Join us for brunch. Let's talk Charmed. But first, we have some witchy news. Ryan, take it away.
Charmies, Rob, and Hocus Pocus fans, which always seems to come up on this show, of course, because it involves witches and it's one of our favorites. So this has been in a few articles. Thora Birch turned down returning for the movie. Oh.
Well, what I will say is that I am happy she was approached.
Yeah, thankfully. Yes, I am glad too, because I think we should have possibly gotten a reunion of sorts, but I'll just leave it at that.
So this takes away the idea that it's going to match the book, because it all revolved around that family. So we're definitely getting a different story.
And I was almost hoping, though, of getting elements of that book, because I liked parts of it. And this came up too because we just did a throwback to on Patreon to the episode where this came up with, you know, after you read the or listened to the sequel on Books on Tape. So there are parts of that I wish we did get, but it was
Books on Tape.
God, oh, we are old, and I can't believe I said that. So Thora Birch would not be reprising her role as Danny. Danny was one of the three children, of course, in the original one, and it was supposedly Danny would assist the three new teens who would resurrect the witches. And this is she had to decline due to scheduling conflicts and prior to commitments with the Addams Family inspired series Wednesday, but she later left the series in December due to personal and family reasons.
You always wonder with these scheduling conflicts if that's actually the reason, but again, you know, she's probably like, well, I mean, she's getting her wish. Like, Hocus 2 is coming out on Halloween, which she was like the heaviest proprietor of making that movie come out on Halloween. She was totally pissed that it came out on Christmas, but even that didn't keep her to do this role. But if it's a scheduling conflict, then it is. I have a feeling the story really didn't warrant her to like require her to be there. It just would have been fun. I think maybe she should have had a bigger part. Maybe she would have made, you know, make it work. I don't know. But yeah, it's sad that we're not going to see most of the original.
Is it, though? Could it be throwing us off the scent a la what they love to do with Star Wars and different high Marvel things? Would that be a possibility?
I don't take any of that stuff seriously at all unless it comes from them. But at the same time, you know, Andrew Garfield had to lie so many times to not reveal his thing. But I don't know why they would want to keep her a secret. She's part of the original cast. It's not a big surprise if any of them shows up. So... But hey, maybe they want to keep it under wraps. I don't know. But
the three. I want the three to appear in an after credit scene because they should have been approached and they set up a third sequel and then boom.
I will tell you three other additionals that are coming in. And this sort of gives me a little bit of vibes of what I think is going to happen in the movie. So Hocus Pocus 2, we revealed in a previous episode that Ginger Minge, who is a drag queen from the RuPaul's Drag Race alum of listed queens who appeared on the show, is going to revive Winifred Sanderson's character in drag in this film. Well, they added a few more drag queens to this movie. In addition to Ginger Minge is Cornbread Jatte, who is a local LA queen who I've seen perform before. She just appeared on this latest season, so I'm very happy to see her. And then we also have Kimora Hall, who was also in one of the latest seasons. And I think that is going to be so cool.
Are they all three going to be the Sandersons then?
That's what I'm thinking. So I'm thinking that these three might play the Sanderson sisters in some drag show that is going to be happening. But what I think is going to happen because of do you remember that Disney Plus like ad that ran like a millisecond of every new thing that's going to come to Disney Plus, including Hocus Pocus. So that was our first look. So it showed the sisters sort of like walking down the street, but surrounding them was a lot of memorabilia and souvenirs regarding the Sanderson sisters. So they're going to wake up when the town has really captured the essence of them and is using them as tourist attractions. And they're probably going to show up at a festival where they are loved and with a performance from these drag queens. And so that is my theory.
Perfect.
That they are just going to be bombarded with all of this love that, like, I can't believe, like, Salem is all, you know, like, about the Sanderson sisters now, when before they were scared of them. So it should be really interesting. But I am still waiting for a trailer, and I'm just waiting impatiently. Hurry up. I want a trailer.
I just don't want it to disappoint after all these years. And I hope that – I think there's enough knowledge that they don't want to mess this up because Disney has totally cashed in on the whole Hocus Pocus thing. So they know what a moneymaker it is, I hope.
We'll see what happens. But that is our witchy news. Now – your opinion on the Lost Picture Show. What did you think of today's episode?
I actually enjoyed it again.
Okay.
Partner guy who I watched it with, when him in the background, he said it was a boring episode. He also doesn't like Billy and Christy episodes. So, eh.
So there were a couple of funny elements, but overall, this was a very boring episode, unfortunately. The body swap situation happened again, which I will say is the last time we are getting that storyline. But again, matched with our villain, just sort of the progression of our characters and its stories. There were things that I really did like, and we're going to talk about them as we go through the episode. But overall, this was not... I don't know. I didn't really like this one, to be honest, but you're going to get two different opinions this week. So let's get started with your play. How was your play? What was that play?
I'm going with JD's neck move. I'm calling it the neck choke. Damn. He just does it so fast. And I was very impressed with the beginning that he out choked this demon out of nowhere. And then the Billy later on made me laugh hysterically how she just like fell down on the couch. But okay, but this move, Rob, this move.
Awesome. And I do have something on that a little later. My play was after the body swap. Paige, I think it was, no, it was Phoebe. Phoebe informs the swapped Leo and Piper that Billy and JD are not downstairs. And Piper inside Leo's body goes, "What?" and scares Piper. And I just think every time Piper just has that tone, no matter who's playing her, she just has to yell and she just has that voice that just scares people and makes them jump. Cause it goes back into somebody's cry for him. It just, I just like how people react, but Leo actually did a good job just being like, "What?" I thought that was so funny. That is my play this week.
oh my God. That was great.
How about your MVP? You're
sampling the best. Damn, I'm not doing well already because...
So you picked Paige last time. So is this your fourth time?
This actually, I have in our notes, Rob, that I have Paige, but I also have slash Billy. And I'll tell you for one reason. I feel like this, we're on the teetering edge of the Christy situation. So Billy is still really, I feel like, this pure, pure character that's really honestly smart. She says a line later on that my father was an inventor. I thought that was so funny. I don't know why. In a cute way and smart thinking. So, and I like that she brings us back to the beginning of being a young witch and it's like these simpler episodes. So not, but at the same time, this is a Paige episode and I can't lie. And she did, again, do a lot of crap in this episode. But because I think Paige is still going to shine later on, I'm going to give it to Billy.
Okay. All right. Billy. Now, don't do it for the sake of the bet. Is this who you really think is the MVP this episode?
No, I swear. No. At first, I'm telling you, up until the last scene, it was going to be Paige. And I had this whole thing ready about, like, well, here we go. Strike number four. And then really thinking about it up until this moment, I'm looking at slash Billy. That really, I did like that because she does have this innocence again of how they were in the beginning. And it, I like that the last season in a way is boring because it is harkened back to a simpler plot lines like this. So, and I like that she brings that. And again, I don't think I'll be picking her anytime soon after this because I don't really know what's going to happen next, but it's, yes, I do. So it's scary.
Okay. All right.
So well, Billy.
My MVP is going to be the soothsayer. I loved his one scene. I wanted so much more of him.
The gardener.
I thought his scene was so gold. I just found him to be funny. And he knew the part and the assignment and did it well. He is my MVP this week. That I just like what he did. he was funny. He was cool.
But Piper really treated him like she kept this like the gardener, Leo.
All right, now did you happen to add anyone to your hot man meter this week?
Yes, I did. And I added more than one.
Ah, well, it turns out I added someone as well. Hallelujah, it's raining men. Let's get to our episode. The original air date was November 6, 2005. This was written by Andy Reeser and Doug E. Jones, directed by Jonathan West. Back once again is Brandon Quinn as Agent Murphy, Scott Jack as Sam Wilder back. I was surprised to see that. J. Kenneth Johnson as J.D. Williams with Will Snow as Vaclav. We have Burt Rosario as our soothsayer with John Brandon as Mr. Sawyer. Mandy June Turpin as Wendy, rounding up the guest stars. Paige's white lighter father, Sam, asks for help when his charge, JD, escapes from Vaklof, a demon who holds people hostage inside an evil photo collage.
Very early Charmed.
It is very early Charmed, yes.
So this goes with our idea that Billy kinda doesn't go to college anymore and also, well, stays up all night lately, but also stays at the Hollowell Manor. So what do you think about this, Rob, that she's become a little sister in the sense of they've taken her under their wing and they're kind of like cool aunts that have them, her, like, sleep over, basically. They don't care. She could sleep over and do magic things because she's probably out late sometimes helping them. And so do you like this dynamic? But it's not explained. I wish it was explained.
Yeah, I was going to say, she could easily just have a key to the house, or they leave their door unlocked and she comes over early in the morning, or she just chose not to sleep and was just there. I don't mind the dynamic. It makes sense. I just think that her earlier persona of being just this normal college kid is going out the window. And not to say that, oh, she's not at school, she must be out there using powers. But at the same time, she's not keeping up her non-magical, you know, persona in appearance a lot. So she's just gone all the time. And she has parents. I'm assuming someone is in contact with her. Just because her sister is gone doesn't mean she has no family whatsoever. I don't remember her mentioning her parents dying. So I'm sure somebody should be keeping up with her.
Oh,
so,
yes. They actually, we might see her parents possibly.
Oh, God, I forgot about that. Oh, yes, that's right. I forgot. But I still don't really remember the dynamic of how the parents are. I'm guessing they're estranged, but somebody has got to be like, is she paying for this? I don't know. Hopefully they explain who's paying for college and all this stuff. Berkeley ain't no joke. So hopefully we get some heavy explanation. I'll just wait until then.
So we get JD, which I'm assuming is a callback to James Dean, one of my teenage crushes.
It probably is. Ugh. It is. Oh, I didn't even pick that up. That's so funny.
And he actually said something about, I think he was at the showing of Rebel Without a Cause. So I'm like, okay, I see you. I see you. And damn, this actor, I mentioned he was coming up, and I got to send Rob the clip, but he plays now a character called Philip on Days of Our Lives.
Oh, how does he look now? Does he still look good? Oh, what happened? Oh, no.
Even Guy was like, because he knew, I kept saying that this character was, so I wanted him to see this episode, and he went, oh. Because he looks, oh, God, forgive me. I'll send the clip to Rob. Charmies, look on Instagram. All right, forgive me. He looks like a vampire. I don't know what happened.
You're
but
funny.
At this point, yes, this man is, JD is going on my hot man meter. So that was the first of this episode.
That chin. Oh, my God, that chin. It is just literally drawn to perfection. I'm trying to think of the actual cartoon. Maybe I'm thinking of Daria or, oh, I can't think of the cartoon. There is where they draw their men with like the sharpest chins and jaws I've ever seen. And
like
JD
Johnny
has
Bravo.
One. No. Yeah, it's so crazy. Well, he definitely went on my meter as well. I wasn't completely sold the minute he came out. I knew that I recognized him, but I was like, do I want him on my meter? And then as I watched him act and play his game on Billy, I was like, okay, yeah, he's going on this meter for sure. One thing about him before you finish, though, Ryan, is he was in North Shore with Shannon Doherty.
Ooh, okay.
And, yeah. He also was in a different show playing a character called Ethan in an episode called Boyfriends and Birthdays back in 2000. Do you happen to know what show that is?
This sounds like the Power Rangers. Is this the one with Zach? Happy, happy birthday, baby. Then he flees the dance. Oh, my God.
So back in 2000, he played a character, Ethan, in a show that takes place in Miami.
Is it S Club 7?
It is S Club 7 in Miami. He was in an episode.
I just gasped and choked on my own saliva. Over S. This is what S Club does to me. Oh my God, what? Oh, yes! And oh my God, that's where they sing. Rachel has this whole thing. It's a special. Yes, 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 yes. They.
That car accident was no freaking joke. The way he hit that car, he should have been dead.
Rob, his neck.
Oh my God. And he fell on his head as well as hit his head clear into the windshield.
Dead. Dead.
Paralyzed. Like, even a stuntman who even did that scene, like, bravo to you. I don't know how they pulled this off.
No, I agree. The neck, when the way he lay, I have a thing with neck since my injury.
When he landed,
it looked like his neck bent. So, yes, I don't even know how the stuntman did this. Bravo. We hope you're alive and well.
I did like in the beginning, as you were saying earlier about Billy being, you know, there all the time and whatnot. They did mention that she is still in school because Paige is like, don't you have school? So thank God she's still in school. You know, get that education. Charm better teach these kids to stay in school because the keeper of the Pandora's box stayed in school, I'm sure.
Exactly. She probably has it under her bed.
Yeah.
In her dorm. So,
Billy, get the education, okay? Especially if it's paid for. My God.
I know. Paige is like, should you be, could you do something else?
So we're also introduced to our Demon of the Week. So it is played by Will Snow. He is another YNR alum. I don't recognize this character, unfortunately, but he was on a season back in 2004. And he also did two films after guest starring on Charmed and then never worked on the silver screen again.
Oh.
Yeah, he's an Australian actor, and I think those two credits were in Australia. But so Charm might be the last like U.S. thing. I will say now, he is quite the silver daddy today. He looks really good today.
He didn't look bad in this either, honestly. But
he
did like. But
he's not on my meter. No. I didn't add him on this, and you would think I would have, but no, I'm good. So Paige's father, Sam Wilder, orbs in and tells her about JD. JD was Sam's charge when he disappeared in 1955. Paige and Sam meet Agent Murphy at the hospital and tell him about JD. And Sam spots JD, and Murphy realizes that the doctor tending to him has dirty boots, something no real doctor would tolerate. So Murphy shoots the doctor 5 times to no effect, and Vakloff shimmers away. And then Paige and Sam take JD to the manor. I actually really enjoy this specific plot line. I feel that this is how you create a mythology within a TV show, especially creating a Charmverse, right? If Sam were to return back to Charm for any reason to guest star, it would be because something triggered him to involve himself with the Charm ones again. And it's not just some like, oh, let's just throw Sam in there and see what happens with him and Paige. He had a very specific reason to go to the Charm ones for help because of something that happened in the past. It makes complete sense that Sam would get a jingle that one of his charges is suddenly alive again. I like the way this is tied in. So I will definitely give props to that.
You didn't find it as a last season callback, like a last season, like, let's just get Sam back kind of thing. Like, you actually, you could see how it would work plot-wise as well. Which
yeah,
is great.
Exactly. Now, let's say there was like some spinoff about White Lighters, whatever. This would be the perfect plot to bring back something from the past that was never mentioned in previous episodes. And it brings up a lot of unsolved, you know, I shouldn't say unsolved mysteries, but, you know, just unclosed doors and unfinished business. And I just think that this was a nice creative way to bring Sam back. I also found the nurse who was talking to Vaclav, she was gorgeous. She is on my hot list for hottest female. She is a contender. I found her to be adorable and super cute. I really liked her.
Very nice and caring too.
I really liked her. I thought she was cool. So Leo and Piper have been sniping and going to a soothsayer known to Leo, which I thought was also a very smart idea. What did you think about them seeing a magical doctor versus a regular one?
Very smart. I just wish what happens didn't.
That's fair.
But this guy was extremely likable. I liked his calming effect that he had. I liked that he was a gardener and he was caring for these flowers.
The soothsayer gives them cryptic advice when tending to a rose bush. As they leave, the soothsayer casts a spell and Leo and Piper find themselves in each other's bodies. Now, I've seen this gif on Twitter thousands of times and it's Leo and Piper screaming at each other. This is the episode that it's from. I thought that was funny. Phoebe is hung up on her premonition of having a daughter and has gone to a sperm bank. She has a very specific idea of what her daughter should be, but it is advised that she won't find what she's looking for there. So I wrote some other stuff involving these scenes here. First of all, the outfit that Phoebe is seen wearing with the smallest little knitted sweater thing. I didn't get it. Hold your thought on that, Ryan. You can talk about it in fashions, but like, what the deuce was that? That's all I'll say about that.
Phoebe Hallowell outfit.
So Sam didn't want to intrude, which explains his absence since we last saw him. Now, do you find this justifiable? Like, that is his reason for not being seen all of these years, you know? Like, I understand the intruding part, but that comes through in communication and not by assumption. And he assumed that she didn't want him around. But honestly, what did you think about his reasoning for not being around?
I bought it based on his character. We see that he tends to be almost a loner and I liked actually how he was more positive in this episode since becoming back, you know, back into the white lighter field, I guess you would call it. So I do believe him when he said that. It clearly, I guess, affected Paige more than she let on. So,
yeah, so it's not like Paige shared any interest at all that she wanted Sam to be in her life more. But I would say that doesn't mean that she needed to be the one to make the first move. I think if Sam really wanted to kind of be around more, he should have at least got a verbal confirmation that that was not in the cards and not just assume that Paige didn't want him around. So I'm not buying it. I'm not saying he's lying, but I think that that's sort of like a cheap reasoning to just ignore, you know. I'm not completely sold on it, but I do have a question for you. This is in regards to WWPD. What would Prue do? Now, if she was alive, what do you think she would think of Sam's appearance back into Paige's life? Would she be bitter regarding her own relationship with her father and warn Paige about Sam? Or do you think that she would encourage Paige to have a relationship with him enough for her to even make the first move herself?
Oh, first off, I love the jingle. And I love the question. So I actually thought of this right away. I wrote So Prue and Victor early on with the whole mimicking of Paige and Sam in this episode. But I think Prue would be the one at this point to say, you know what, I've been there, Paige, and believe me, I was extremely hurt and bitter towards my father, but I learned blah 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 blah, and soften her up. I honestly think that would have been a great lesson and another callback to earlier seasons. So I think she would have taken that route. Do you think so, Rob? Or do you think she would have been the protective older sister going, well, where were you for 3 years?
Victor and Sam are not the exact same person, so the same outcome may not come out. Maybe it's different because Victor is Prue's dad and Sam isn't. So, yes, I think she would understand her reservation and her guard not to get close. Do I think that Prue would be like, oh, you should take a chance? I think that she would encourage her, but not necessarily say, you should do it. Does that make sense? And I'm sure that's kind of what you said too. But I think Prue would kind of step back and let her make the decision, of course, and not push her to do it. Like, there's that kind of advice where you're just like, oh, you're going to do this. I mean, if you don't do this, you're going to regret it. Like, I don't think Prue would come on that strong to make sure that history doesn't repeat itself the way it did with Prue. But I think that she will share her own story, and then Paige will just have to come to the conclusion herself.
I think that's what would have happened as well. She would have left it up to her to decide, and then Paige probably would have, you know, thought about it.
All right, so I want to talk about the soothsayer scene really quick. His cryptic messages, I can do with or without those, but I thought his presence, him being a gardener, tending to roses, you know, it's a thankless job. And I find it really cool that he's blending in. You know, he has that mysterious of him. Like, he kind of just tends to be around. We'll run into him when we see him. You know, he's unorthodox. He's not, you know, that so serious about stuff. And he's very on point. Like, he talked to them for, what, 90 seconds and was like, I already know. Y'all don't listen to each other. I already know what I'm going to do. And then immediately just goes into, you know, how many times do you have sex in a day? In a day? Are you crazy? See, I know why Leah wanted to see you. I love that exchange. I thought that was so funny. But also just the idea that Piper finds multiple sex sessions in a day is freaking insane. I just thought that was so funny.
Yeah, I was gonna say, this comes from the woman who slept on top of a fire truck.
Oh, God. She was like, are you crazy? Okay, so Ryan, honestly, how many times in a day or in a week would you prefer to have sex?
Anytime I could.
So you're saying you want it every day. Do you want it multiple times in a day?
Not at this point in my life. If I could, I mean, yeah, I would love it. Yeah, I would say yeah. I mean, at some point, yes, I am exhausted. I probably would be exhausted, but yes. Anytime. Maybe not every day yet, but yeah.
I am content with 3 times a week if I am, like, in a committed relationship. I don't necessarily have a need to hook up these days. So, you know, with being single, I'm not out there getting my fix or whatever. I'm kind of over that. But in a relationship, 3 times a week, at least some form of sex. It doesn't have to be the full-blown everything.
Oh, yes, exactly.
But any even type, exactly. At least 3 times. That, like, please. but also, I love the way that Piper gets the text and she shoves the phone in Leo's face. Ooh, look at that, family emergency. I thought that was so good. I was laughing so hard, and it was very playful. But I wonder if that particular move was in the script, or did she do that on her own because her and Brian are good friends, you know? Because there was even a little bit of a smirk from Brian, like, oh, my God, she really just shoved this phone in my face. She was like, oh, look at that, family emergency. But, yeah, I wonder if that was in the script.
I could see that as an ad-lib moment as well, actually, between the two of them. But hysterical as well. And finally, we see Piper wanting a family emergency and smiling and being smug about it. So funny.
But it also reminded me of Speed, you know, when Sandra Bullock was like, oh my God, I have gum in my seat. Gum. And she shoves it in that guy's face because he's hitting on her. Too funny. The last thing that I have about this particular scene is I enjoyed the interaction between the demon and Agent Murphy. You know, Agent Murphy is now starting to get introduced into the world of magic. He may know about it, but he doesn't witness it a lot. he's being surprised by hearing the words demon and white lighter, and he goes in guns a-blazing, but it was the look on his face when he sees that these bullets don't do any harm, and then he just shimmers out. There was a bit of shock. There was confusion. A lot of things was going on in this particular scene and his look. And that sense of discovery, I could tell he was not expecting that at all. And I actually found that to be a nice scene that played out.
And believable, yeah.
Oh, and one other thing I forgot to tell you. Ryan, I told you before we started today to take a good look at the soothsayer and tell me if you've ever seen him in anything else. Did you happen to recognize him?
No, I mean, he looked familiar, but I feel like it's just because of this episode.
But okay, no, and that's totally fair.
He had a very nice calming effect on me, so I did like him. I wonder what he was in. That's what I want to know.
So maybe if he talked a little bit more in this other role, you may have recognized him. But just imagine more curly hair, a very sleazy, greasy look to him. And he's in a record store flirting with Madonna.
Oh, my God. Wow. So I gotta see him in that movie. I never put two and two together.
I did immediately. That is him. So this guy played a greasy looking guy. Just he had one scene in this 80s film starring Madonna called Who's That Girl? Ryan and I recently just reviewed this movie for my other podcast. And so, of course, his face stood out to me.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's so funny. Yes. And I'm looking at his face right now. And again, I'm going, oh, yes, that's really funny.
Yeah. Crazy, right? So also for you horror fans out there, apparently our Bert Rosario, who plays our soothsayer, also voiced Blade from Puppet Master in a video. Ooh. This is on his IMDb page. It doesn't say from a movie. It just says a video. So apparently he voiced Blade somehow. The puppet Blade. And I was like, okay.
So he's not the real voice. He is just a guest appearance on something.
I guess so.
I did actually like Paige's quote of saying, you know, maybe seeing you more than 3 years. Every three years, Paige says that Sam comes around. So I thought that was really powerful. Was another reason why it was a contender for Paige this week. Because I thought that was really such a powerful line. It showed how upset she was. And I did remember that Paige's father was a fireman. So I'm glad the writers did too. And it just turns out to be that new charmed one over on the CW side of things. From what I read, they made her an artist, but also she was dropped off at a fire station or something like that. So I wonder if that really was a homage to Paige, or they just picked a random place that you could drop a baby off at. Yes, kudos to the writers to remember that far back for them that, yes, her father, her adoptive father, who Paige considered her father, is a fireman and not a white lighter. I loved the dirty shoe comment. I loved that he picked up that a doctor wouldn't have dirty shoes. Now, I question if that's really every doctor truly, but
I mean, I've seen doctor wear tennis shoes because it's just easier to walk in all day when you're on your feet. So I've never heard of that specific term. Yes, doctors are more cleanliness because they're around people and medicine and stuff like that. So maybe that is a definite no-no, but do they have nice shoes all the time? Probably not. But as far as boots, who knows?
But great pickup. It reminded me almost like when Buffy can spot a vampire because they're possibly wearing old clothes. So that actually qualified our agent to go on the HMM as well this week. This is finally the week that he is going on.
Oh, nice. Okay, so Brandon Quinn made it your hot man meter.
I was teetering since his first episode, and I'm like, you know what? And I liked that he and Paige were working together in this episode, and it wasn't going to develop into another romance. And look, the two of them did great together out in the field. Also, Sam is going on the list too, because we brought him up. I liked his whole look.
He's always cleans up very nicely. I will say he made your list last time, right?
Yes. Yes. And I did notice he wore flannel too. So that maybe that's a white lighter thing.
Awesome.
And then finally, what do you think about the last 2 weeks, Piper and Leo being this, like, we thought maybe we got over it with Kill Billy, with the, you know, Piper, you know, being so whatever upfront with Leo, and now it's another week of them having issues. So, real life couple, or do we really want to see this in the final season, this loving couple arguing and just like nagging at each other continuously now?
Well, I have a feeling that they better get used to it. I like the idea, because we hear a line like this towards the end is like, everybody adores this couple and they all want what they have. Exactly. And while the outside looking in, they look like the perfect couple. But remember, the perfect couple comes with arguments and we never see them fight. This gives them more of a realistic look at what a couple looks like. You can't keep the romance going 24/7. Shit's bound to hit the fan sometimes. And especially when you're living together and, you know, dealing with babies and all that stuff, like, you're going to fight. And the other thing is, too, is that Piper does have powers. And so she does feel like she's superior to Leo. Mm-hmm. And that's got to stop. I wish he would stop that. And I don't know what he's supposed to do, because he can't get a job. It's not like he doesn't want a job. He can't have one. Like, you chose this man and now you're treating him as some errand boy. It's just weird. But I'm glad that Leo is not, you know, being that nice pacifist that he is. He feels comfortable stepping up to Piper and letting her know when she, you know, says the wrong thing sometimes. So
you're right.
I'm glad that this is on here. Is it as entertaining for last season? I don't know if we need storylines like this, but I also know that it's great to see that this couple isn't like perfect.
I agree, but I feel like it's been almost every episode. And I just thought of it while we were speaking, that episode as well with Paige opening it up saying, look, here's a married couple fighting too. It's just like, seems like that's their to go to this season. I think that's my complaint in a way. Like, I like that it's normal couples, but it's like, oh, Piper and Leo just being nasty.
Well, you know what's funny? As we know what happens to Leo later in the season, this would have been a great opportunity to really test their marriage. You know, maybe bring them to the brink of like breaking up, and then having him gone really puts things in perspective. You know, a lot of great couples in TV go through a full season of arguing all the time, possibly breaking up. Blackish did this in their earlier days. I think it was around season 5 or 6. The entire season was about the two of them not getting along and possibly divorcing. And it was, I wouldn't say it was traumatizing, but it really was difficult to get through that season. Like, I would look forward to Blackish every day came on. Like, I would watch it immediately on the next day air on Hulu. And that season was really difficult to watch. I could not watch these two argue, and it felt real. And like, shows do this. They test these perfect relationships because they can't be happy all the time. It's just not reality. So I get it.
JD wakes up in the manor and Sam heals him. Sam tries to keep JD calm. JD remembers being met by some creep who took a flash photo of him. And that's the last thing he remembers before being hit by a car. Paige remembers that another young person who disappeared was last seen with a photographer. She and Murphy set out to find the photographer. JD and Billy talk. JD notes the television and wonders where the ears are. Billy's cell phone rings and she tries to cover. This is when Billy says that her father was an inventor. And I thought that was really cute. JD's lit cigarette causes the smoke alarm to go off, which startles JD. He accidentally turns on the television, which plays music strange to him, and he runs out of the manor. That music video made me laugh too, because like of all the music videos to come on, it had to be some like rock video from.
So the music video that you actually see on that TV is a video called Delate. Or Delate, like D-I-L-A-T-E, performed by the Four Star Mary.
I was hoping that you might have information about that. So that's a real band then.
Yes, it is.
Okay. And then, Witch Watcher.
Yay, I was excited about her appearance today.
Well, Charmies and Rob, gather round. Because Ryan is going to tell you a quote. We can't have you two joining forces in this life, not in any life. Evil witch in my sight, vanquish thyself, vanquish thy might in this and every future life.
I'm so horrible. I am not a quote man. What is, I know this quote and it is in my head. I'm so horrible. My brain is just not working today. Who is this? Who are you quoting today?
Well, Rob and Charmies, this is P. Bowen from Pardon My Past. This is, of course,
which sister I picked, right?
So we saw this cousin of the Hollowell's past, and she has the power, Rob, of chirokinesis, which is the ability to generate and manipulate cold and ice, and generally to project streams or blasts of intense cold intended to freeze target. She activated this power by blowing on her hand, and it was shown to be strong enough to not only extinguish fire, but also disintegrate objects. So get this, Bowen and Prue both died in the month of May. This could be a coincidence or a writer's Easter egg. And then, Rob, it is assumed that this Bowen's name was Phoebe Pearl, but they assume it's Phoebe because in that 70s episode, Patty Hollowell mentioned an Aunt Phoebe.
Gotcha. Okay. No, I didn't know that.
So, yes to one of our past Hollowell descendants, P. Bowen. Okay, Rob. So, Paige, Sam, and Murphy meet with the father of a young person who disappeared. He last saw her when she was having a picture taken. The father tells them where the studio was. It was close to where J.D. was hit by a car. I did really enjoy this scene as well, Rob. I liked the way of bringing the father into the fold and having Paige hear his story, having Sam be there for the story. Smart. Again, a throwback to earlier episodes, I feel like. And I like this little moment, especially in the final season, that we get to, you know, just add to Paige's, you know, prophecy. Legacy.
Yeah. Hey, baby, what's shaking? Oh, my God. My jaw dropped just as Billy's did when he said that to her. I was like, he doesn't know what's happening to him. He just got in a car accident and he still knows how to be smooth when it counts. I was falling for it. But it's funny when he pulled out a cigarette and she was like, ew. And he's like, do you want one? Ew, no, cancer. was too funny. Throughout this episode, Sam continues to give Paige a hard time about not using her magic when appropriate. What do you think about Sam getting Paige to use her magic again and sort of accepting that side of her? He is playing this father role like he's been there the whole time, which I think is a little off, but he is definitely self-aware the moment it's pointed out to him. But just from that aside, what do you think about, like, why do you need to drive here? Why can't you just orb? I know that the sister's mission is to try and be as normal as possible, especially with the FBI on their tail. But what do you think about him just kind of reminding her, like, you're a white lighter too. It's okay.
Was it me, Rob, though? Or was this only in this episode as a point just to have Sam say that to her? Because we've seen that Paige is not afraid or caring. Even this season, she'll orb into places. So it seems like a very un-Paige-like thing to do, unless since he's been around her, she's just refusing to do it out of spite for being upset. So I could get that if that's the whole thing. But it did seem like an uncharacteristic thing for Paige.
I mean, she's only a white lighter because of him. So yeah, she may not want to highlight that in that particular time. So yeah, it makes sense. So Billy catches up with JD, who is disoriented into this strange world. He sees the year 2005 on a newspaper and runs off looking for his father. But his father has just died and had no family. Billy tells JD about magic, and Paige and Sam find Vaclav's studio. Sam senses the pain of those trapped in a collage, and he realizes that Vaclav is after future white lighters and warns Paige. Paige leaves, and then Vaclav shimmers in. He conjures a camera and takes Sam's picture. Sam is now caught in the collage. Now, Sam's picture, along with almost everybody else, has had the weirdest pose ever, especially this one blonde girl who had, like, her hands on her hip, and she was just like she was some old grandma. I don't know who told her to pose like that, but she didn't do that because she was startled or scared, so I need to know the story. But these poses were legendary.
Rob, it's so true. Sam's, you could tell exactly it was going to be like, I'm surprised it wasn't Are You Afraid of the Dark Nickelodeon quality. Like, I'm going to pause here in this, like, you're going to take a picture of me and you're going to put me on this, superimpose it.
Look for a poll, guys. I'm going to be asking, which photography episode do you like more, Goosebumps or Afraid of the Dark's episode?
So again, this whole demon plot with the photographer, and it's an old camera. There was a book that I believe also dealt with cameras in the Charmed novel. So it's a novel idea for a demon, and I really enjoy that. So it's a throwback again, earlier seasons, the innocent having to save JD and something like this. But yes, Rob was right. That photographer's parchment with those photos were amazing. Billy, ding, 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 hand in her pockets, the scene again.
I caught that.
I gotta say, the actor playing JD, I guess, gave his future soap performance because he screams at the grave, how could they bury me? I'm still alive. And the way he said it, I was like, okay, you're just a guest. But you are really bringing it, so kudos.
It's just because he's cute when he says it.
Okay, so Leo and Piper are still bickering, but Phoebe calms them down, reminding them not to take each other for granted. They reconcile, and the soothsayer's spell is lifted. They return to their respective bodies. So, Rob, with that, I did enjoy the fact that they got to switch personalities and bodies. Did we need it again? No, but it wasn't as drawn out and, you know, cliche as it could have been. It was more done for laughs, at least.
Yeah, the solution and how easy it was to resolve. I'm sorry, like, the soothsayer is definitely not making any coin off this couple if he needs to solve them in one session. I just can't believe how easy it was for them to turn back, even though they still have to work on things that, just because they recognize this, it shouldn't have been this easy. I'm telling you, Jamie Lee and Miss Lohan went through a whole lot of shit before they switched back. And all these two had to say was, oh, you know, I get it now. And then they switched back. No, you got to go through some stuff and also go to the Battle of the Bands before you switch back.
Oh, bullshit. God, yeah. If only at P3, too.
If only.
But you're right. And that's why I think this whole subplot could have been definitely taken out.
Just move it out.
But, you know, why does this have to keep happening to them? Clearly, this is an issue since baby Wyatt in the womb. So they got to keep walking in each other's shoes. But they do have it. It's so you could tell they're really enjoying it. So that's what I really liked about it. Paige confronts Vaclav, God help us all, at his studio, and he demands JD in return for Sam. Why did he take JD out of the paper to begin with, Rob? What's the whole point?
I think it was an accident. Like, I think it was an accident, or you know what it was? They mentioned later that his whole shtick is that he traps future White Lighters and then he feeds off the sadness and pain of the family members. So remember, the father just died in the hospital. So that is his cue to take him out and kill the White Lighter. So that's why. I thought it was an accident at first, but no, it was just his turn because his father just passed away.
God, oh, that makes more sense.
Yeah, his last family member goes, therefore I can kill JD now, leaving room on the collage for another person.
Damn. That was good. I guess, yeah, that's talk about long game.
Yeah.
So, JD decides to confront the demon. Having decided he doesn't belong, the demon kills JD, but doesn't release Sam in his pose. JD's death, very anticlimactic, as the source would say.
It is very anticlimactic, and I do have that in my notes, too. What I will say to that, though, it is very honorable, and it also foreshadows the future White Lighter in him, because he's known to be a reckless bad boy doing the wrong thing, but he has a lot of heart. This was the example as to why he was to become a future White Lighter. So it was needed, but yes, I think he died kind of boring for entertainment wise, you know? So
Paige, at Leo and Piper's suggestion, calls for Sam, not as Sam, but as dad. The connection frees Sam and everyone else in the collage, hysterical how they just everything lined up perfectly. Everyone came back. The demon came.
Now, this is a sign that Paige's powers are growing, but they didn't really establish it. They were just like, I guess this is my White Lighter side. This is, you know, which is fine, but does she do this again? I don't think so. I mean, we'll have to keep an eye out for it, but I can't believe, and she didn't even have to concentrate. She was like, Dad?
Once?
Like, once. And then bam, not only him, but everybody comes back. Not even a spell was needed. No. Oh, man,
see, damn. Now I should have picked Paige for MVP because look, she brought back every one of those damn posed people. with her mind. But no, wouldn't you have liked her to have to say dad maybe one or two more times and then maybe really get more like dad? Like, you know, more of an emotional.
Yeah. Just make me believe it. You know, like, I'm sorry. When Prue was fending for her life and called for her daddy, she said dad D. Like, this woman wanted her dad at that moment. This one was nothing in comparison to Prue's plea for her father. So I wanted that.
You know what? I will say at least Prue grew up with Victor to a point, but yeah, I get what you mean. At least a little more. I wanted emotion too. So the connection frees Sam and everyone else at the college. So the demon shimmers in with a now empty collage and throws a fireball, but Piper throws it back at him and they say it just like this. Guy, again, my partner said, what just happened? Because it looked like almost like a Prue-like move, but I said, no, she must have exploded the energy ball back at him and it deflected it was almost like that Phoebe scene where she empathically threw the fireballs back at the demon again. It's like, what? Okay, we've never seen her do that before. Because what's the hell? Then Piper could just keep exploding the air to move things then if she wanted to then. Telekinesis again. But Piper throws it. Paige grabs Valkvi's camera and takes his picture, trapping him in his own collage. Charmies, count how many times I've called this demon another name. Later, Billy visits JD's grave as the episode ends. White lighter orbing sounds could be heard in the background, indicating that JD might have become a white lighter after all. That's what I assumed.
Yeah, was the I mean, thing. I'm sure it kicks in right when you die, so there you go.
I thought the possibilities, this is just what I thought of really quickly. It had Billy gotten her own spinoff, which I know that has been debated. Brad Kern said it wasn't that, but I swear at points he has, and other people have said it. I guarantee you, if this would have done well with Billy, they would have spun her off. And that's, but anyway, it would have been cool if she did get something and JD turned back to be a white lighter, because that would have been a connection that was already established. So
yeah, that's
that
not a bad idea.
Something cool.
Not a bad idea for sure.
Maybe not a love thing again, but at least let, you know, have her have an established, oh, so another character from Charmed, but we'll never know. Just like the Gypsy spinoff I wanted.
I wanted to talk about sort of the next trick that you were impressed by from JD. There's an actual name for it, actually. It's a specific method that you can use. It's called a wind pull. And so the wind pull is a pressure point. It's actually two pressure points on symmetrical sides of the neck. These points are typically where your hairline ends, just below where your neck meets the curve of your skull. To help inspire sleep, apply pressure to these points simultaneously using both hands. He only used one, so maybe they didn't do their heavy research, but this is the explanation that I found regarding the move that he did. Because I found it pretty cool too, and I was very curious where he got that from, and so I decided to look it up. I mean, even his like trip move was even pretty good too.
The trip move was good too. That's why I was like, damn, he would make a great white lighter to beat. So like even to help like physically like with charges. But didn't he make it look so nice and calm when he did it? And that's how Billy was able to just sleep down on the couch, like we were saying earlier. He did it really nicely.
Well, that concludes the recap of the Lost Picture Show. Let's get right into the stakes here. Now, we kind of already established this type of demon just wasn't as exciting as it could have been. But where on the meter did you put him?
Annoying, because had maybe Sam been trapped there, yeah, but it was just so easy to vanquish him, and Paige even held him against the wall with a tripod, so annoying.
Yeah, I'm teetering between annoying and boring. I'm more on the boring side, though. I love the action scene that we got in the hospital, and yes, he was able to trap Sam, but the solution, the resolution, just even the inconvenience of having to deal with this shit to begin with, you know, like he takes out this guy out of the photo and then just manages to like lose him. Like, this is your problem, demon, not ours. And then it becomes our problem. True. But he was just kind of boring. And unfortunately, all he did was follow them around. He didn't really do anything. He just kind of played in the background, was like, oh, I see ya. Okay, I'm going to do this. I think he really tried to be under the radar with his, you know, killing of JD or whatever. But all he did was just sneak around and just show us that he was listening on some conversation. And then finally coming to when he lost all his people. And then it was just very easy to vanquish. So, yeah, I'm going with boring. This just wasn't, for a season 8 demon, this wasn't good.
Back to basics.
All right, Fashions by Ryan.
Pull out your Polaroid cameras, Charmies. I got three items that I want to showcase today. First off, what did you think about Leo's tan coat that he had, or jacket, when he was in the park? Did you notice this? It almost looked like a leather driver's jacket, maybe like a sports
jacket.
Yeah,
it seemed like a motorcycle jacket. I've seen these on different shows before. There's something about wearing a jacket that's like shorter than your shirt. I have no fashion sense at all. This is why this is Ryan's segment. This is Ryan's segment. I let him drive, but I don't know. For some reason, I just don't like that look. I don't know, but it's a jacket. It's not meant to be on all the time. That's not the outfit. But if it is the outfit, I just always feel that the shirt shouldn't be longer than the jacket you're wearing. That's just me, and I'm weird about it. So I'll leave it at that.
No, I think you're right.
But I did notice the jacket, though. It's nice, and it's something new. I actually like jackets like those. Those are cool.
I agree. It stood out, but it looked the same for me. I think with jackets, it's either harder. Either they're too small or they're floating on you, I think. Or that's always been my problem. I mean, I'm tall, but maybe a little bigger for Leo. But that was one of our showcases. And then Billie's crazy blue outfit with her jeweled center. And it was like wrinkly and very, again, 2000s. Paige's white Bo Peep outfit, I call it. If it feels like very Bo Peepish, she has like kind of like bows in the back, like string, black strings. I really like this outfit, and she also, I don't know, she looks good in white. I always think she also was in a black outfit later. But Rob, the worst offender. Oh, by the way, so Paige is going to be my best dress with that white outfit. But today there is a worse offender, and I think Rob hit the nail on the head earlier. Phoebe's half sweater.
It wasn't even a half. It was like
sleeves.
A shoulder pad sleeve thing.
It was sleeves. You're right. It was a sleeves, like a dicky. Is that what they call them around your neck? Like a faux turtleneck. But not that she was a turtle. It was basically arms. Arms, but two different color arms. And you could see that Phoebe was loving those sleeves. She was like really working them in everything. But this is a Phoebe Hollowell outfit. Only she could come up with this. So worst offender to me. I mean, Alyssa looked beautiful. That outfit, no.
All right, now that was Fashions by Ryan. Next week on Charmed, Battle of the Hexes. No clue.
Oh, I know what this is about.
No idea.
I think there's a magic belt involved.
A magic belt. Okay. Well, we will find out next week. We will return with another new episode. So this is the first episode of April. So I'm just going to throw it out there. This is a new starting month for the Attic. There's going to be a bonus episode coming up. Also, some really exciting things coming up in the future. Think about joining the Patreon in the Attic to gain access to all of our bonus episodes that we've done since day one. And some future ones coming up. That's Patreon.
The Wedding from Hell. Wedding from Hell.
That's patreon.com/BWTH pod. And also, thank you so much for listening to this episode this week. We enjoy having brunch with you every Sunday. Come back for more next week. And again, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. BWTH podcast on Twitter. And Brunch with the Hollowells, all one word, on Instagram. All right, that'll do it.
Bye, Charmies. Enjoy your brunch.
Not a fair fight.
Where have you been? Well, I killed off a bunch of male demons, and I scratched my pretty belt again.
Oh, no, really?
Someone's got anger issues.
Men.
Fresh Charm, next week on the WB's Big Sunday.